I would be delighted to be proven wrong. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring One-Year Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. How are you today? I hope you're well. Thanks so much for bringing me along. Today is Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 99 through 100. Plus, we'll continue our essential series, and we'll have a time of praise reports and prayer requests. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end of the show today. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. And again, we thank you for the Psalms. I pray, God, that you would bless us as we read and that you would teach us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get going. Psalm 99 is another psalm that has no title or author attribution. About Psalm 99, commentator Derek Kidner wrote, "Here, after the carefree delight of Psalm 98, we recollect how exalted and holy he is, and how profound is the reverence we owe him." Psalms chapter 99. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. The title of Psalm 100 is A Psalm of Thanksgiving, and perhaps surprisingly, it's the only psalm with this title. I especially like what G. Campbell Morgan said about Psalm 100. It is jubilant with confidence for the whole earth as it contemplates the glory of that earth when all its people are submitted to the reign of Jehovah. Oh, beloved, won't that be glorious? Psalms chapter 100. Shout to the Lord with joy, everyone on earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come to him with songs of joy. I want you to realize that the Lord is good. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people. We are the sheep belonging to his flock. Give thanks as you enter the gates of his temple. Give praise as you enter its courtyards. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is good. His faithful love continues forever. It will last for all time to come. The title of Psalm 101 is A Psalm of David. This psalm may have been written just after David became king. Listen to what Alexander McLaren wrote. He had but recently ascended to the throne. The abuses and confusions of Saul's last troubled years had to be reformed. The new king felt that he was God's viceroy, and here he declares what he will strive to make his monarchy, a copy of God's. And James Montgomery Boyce wrote this. I was startled to find that Martin Luther had done an exposition of the psalm that ran to 80 pages. The reason I discovered is that he was deeply concerned about civil government and wanted to expound the psalm as a listing of qualities toward which every Christian prince or magistrate should strive. Beloved, would that leaders today, at all levels, should aspire to this kind of administration. Psalms chapter 101. I will sing about your love and fairness. Lord, I will sing praise to you. I will be careful to lead a life that is without blame. When will you come and help me? I will lead a life that is without blame in my house. I won't look at anything that is evil. I hate the acts of people who aren't faithful to you. I don't even want people like that around me. I will stay away from those whose hearts are twisted. I don't want to have anything to do with evil. I will get rid of anyone who tells lies about his neighbor in secret. I won't put up with anyone whose eyes and heart are proud. I will look with favor on the faithful people in the land. They will live with me. Those whose lives are without blame will serve me. No one who lies and cheats will live in my house. No one who tells lies will serve me. Every morning I will get rid of all the sinful people in the land. I will remove from the city of the Lord everyone who does what is evil. In chapter 101, verse 2, David wrote, I will be careful to lead a life that is without blame. When will you come and help me? In my own home, I will lead a life that is without blame. As I've already said before we read this chapter, wouldn't it be great if leaders today made this their goal? Beloved, I believe that we need to pray that God would move in the hearts of our local leaders, our state or province leaders, and our national leaders. Beloved, no matter where you're hearing this, pray for your leaders. When God gets a hold of them or moves new, godly people into their spots, we'll begin to see changes for the good around the world. Yes, you've heard me say many times, I believe that we're in the end times, but I would be delighted to be proven wrong. If God chooses to move on the hearts of people around the world, if we were to see a new and fresh awakening, a monumental revival, I would be thrilled beyond words. Grant it, Lord. Grant it. In Jesus' name. But even if that doesn't happen, we can still make that our goal. David said, in my own home, I will lead a life that is without blame. You know, sometimes people live much different lives inside their homes than they do outside. They show a smiling, everything is right with the world, Christian facade to the world. But at home, they're the exact opposite. Don't be that way, beloved. Don't be a hypocrite. If you truly love the Lord but don't act like it at home, then I would encourage you to take a hard look at why you act this way. Are you stressed because of work or bills or family problems? Well, let me ask you this. Have you taken your problems to the Lord and laid them at His feet, only to pick them up again? Maybe you need help from your pastor or a trusted friend or a counselor. Listen, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody needs help from time to time. It's okay. If you need help, get it. Galatians 5:22 through 26 has a lot to say about how we should behave. It says, But the fruit the Holy Spirit produces is love, joy, and peace. It is being patient, kind, and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. There is no law against things of that kind. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their sinful desires to His cross. They don't want these things anymore. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become proud. Let us not make each other angry. Let us not want what belongs to others. Beloved, as we go about our days, the fruit of the Spirit should flow from us whether we are inside or outside of our homes. Jesus said that they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. Well, let's pray that we will mature as believers to the point that people truly see Jesus in us. I'd love to hear your comments or questions. Contact information will be at the end of today's show. And tomorrow will be Poetry Thursday. We'll read Proverbs 19.
Boost.
Boost!
Brother Sean of
San Pedro
sent in 2 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boosts today. Brother Sean, thank you so much. Also, thanks to you sat streamers. You're hanging in there, and I appreciate it. God bless you.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
This is number 12 in our series on the essentials of the faith, and today we're going to continue talking about what we believe about Jesus. Today we'll talk about the fact that He ascended bodily into heaven, and He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, where, as the only mediator between God and man, He continually makes intercession for His own. In Luke 24:50, we read about the ascension of Jesus, and it says, And He led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. While He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And then Acts 1:6 through 11 gives us a bit more detail. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Remember, last week we talked about the fact that Jesus was resurrected in the same body that he was crucified and died in, and he spent 40 days after the resurrection with the disciples and others, and now they watched him ascend into heaven, that same Jesus they spent about 3 years with during his earthly ministry. Okay, what about Jesus sitting down at the right hand of God the Father? The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:34, Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And in Ephesians 1:19-22, Paul wrote, And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Beloved, when God the Father put Jesus at his right hand, he put him in an honored position, a position signifying that Jesus had equal honor, equal dignity, and equal authority. And there are many scriptures that speak of the right hand of God. Now, a mediator. What is a mediator? A mediator is a person who acts as an intermediary, a go-between, as it were, between opposing sides to bring a settlement or to resolve a dispute. Jesus is the mediator between us and God the Father. But why is this necessary? Because God has an issue with us, a big issue. We are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the punishment for sin is death, physical and spiritual death, which is separation from God in hell. We need Jesus as our mediator because we have no hope of making up for our sins on our own. Our best efforts are like filthy rags, according to Isaiah 64:6. Well, thankfully, 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Hebrews 9:15 says, Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And notice that scripture here in Hebrews 9 does not say, therefore he is a mediator. It says he is the mediator. Yes, beloved, for those who put their trust in him, Jesus is our one and only mediator. There is no need for any other. We can go directly to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Hallelujah. Next Wednesday in our series on the essentials of the faith, Lord willing, we'll talk about the fact that man's nature is corrupted, and he is thus totally unable to please God. Every man is in need of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with that, that man's nature is corrupted? I have a friend, a very close friend, who doesn't quite believe that. He believes that man is basically good. What do you think? Be back next week to hear what Scripture says. I welcome your comments and your questions, of course. Contact information will be at the end of the show. Praises and prayer requests. As I record this on Tuesday afternoon, Dell and Kathy are on the way to City of Hope. Kathy will be having a PET scan tomorrow, Wednesday, today, to you. Podcasting, I love this time-shifted thing. Kathy will be having a PET scan on Wednesday to see what's going on with her cancer. As I understand it, what they see will determine how well her current medications are doing in shrinking the tumors, and hopefully they are shrinking and they won't need to do any more adjustments. And James in Norway asked us to pray for his dad, who had a cardiac ablation procedure about 2 weeks ago for AFib, which is what I had about a year ago. Unfortunately, his dad had another episode of AFib a few days ago, and James would like us to pray for him. And James said, hooray for Jesus. Yes, hooray for Jesus. And as far as I know, and I'm not a doctor, of course, but as far as I remember from what the doctor told me when I had my procedure, we don't really say that a procedure has been a failure or a success for the first 6 months or so after the procedure. So perhaps James's dad just got a little bit too active too soon. As I remembered, my doctor said that I should not resume normal activities until it was about a month from having the procedure. So maybe that's what it is. Time will tell. All right, are you ready? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you for the Psalms of praise like we read today. They teach us how to praise you, and they remind us of all the things that you are and that you have done and that you will do. They remind us that you indeed are worthy of praise. We certainly do have a reason to shout joyfully and serve you with gladness. Lord, we pray that you would raise up leaders around the world that would turn to you for guidance and for godly principles to rule by, like David did. We pray for a revival, the likes of which have never been seen, and Lord, I believe that we're even beginning to see the early signs of that now. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for our failure to stand up for you and be salt and light like we should. Lord, give us opportunities to share the gospel. Use us to bring glory to your name, and may the fruit of the Spirit be shown in our lives. Father, we pray now for Kathy. We pray that the PET scan would show that the healing is taking place. Yes, Lord, we pray that your will would be done, but you've also told us in your word that we should bring our requests, our petitions, to you. Lord, we want your will for Kathy without a doubt, and we're asking that your will would be to bring glory to yourself through Kathy's healing. We ask this humbly, Lord. And we thank you that James in Norway's dad was able to have the ablation surgery, and I pray that you'd give him a successful recovery with no further episodes of AFib. I know that sometimes the episodes just become fewer than they were before the procedure, and that's wonderful, but we pray that James's dad would be one of the really good success stories, Father. Give him strength as he recovers, we pray. Father, I thank you for each one whom you've brought into the LifeSpring family. No one's here by accident. You've called them here, and I thank you for that. I pray that you would take what they hear on the show and use it for your kingdom, Lord. And where there are needs, Father, I pray that you would meet them in your own perfect and loving way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next time of prayer together here on the show will be Sunday. If there's a praise you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, or if there's something you'd like us to pray with you about, contact information is coming up in just a moment. Today's show art was done by Scott Snyder. Thank you, Scott. And also thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany, the team. If you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, here's how to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you want to use your keyboard for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Or for comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And also, boostergrams are a great way to do any of those things. And last, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Beloved, thank you for being with me today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.